Zechariah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, these wondrous Christmas verses written the better part of 800 years before Christ. The wonderful thing about God, He doesn't have to write today's headlines today. He can write them yesterday. Oh. For unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given. I said this last week, that every time I read that, I have just ponder and wonder how the child was born, but the son was given. In the beginning, before the world existed, before Mary was there, before Mary's grandparents or great-grandparents, or before Adam and Eve, before the first person to walk upon the face of this world, before the animals, before the rivers and streams, before the stars in the heaven, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. But He was given. He was given. And the government will be on His shoulders. And He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over His kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty. 2 weeks ago, as we began Advent, we began to talk about the names of Jesus. That first week, we talked about Emmanuel, God with us. Last week, we talked about Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. Today, I want to talk about Prince. And you know, we desperately need peace because there is no peace today. Maybe for those of you who have been alive as long as I have, if you've followed the news for some time, you know how many politicians have promised peace. Peace accords and peace treaties and peace talks and peace. But I did a study of Western civilization during college, 2 semesters, the history of the Western world. You know what the history of the Western world is measured in? It's war. Jeremiah was absolutely right when he said these words, Jeremiah 8:11. He says, "Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace." Ezekiel, perhaps quoting or referring to him, writing a few years later, in Ezekiel 13:10, says this, "They say peace when there is no peace." There's no peace in the world. Jesus described human history, the years between His first advent and His second advent with these words, Matthew 24:6, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of war." We've been very blessed. We have technically been in a war for what? The longest war in U.S. history, the war in Afghanistan. 11 years, coming up on 12 years. And yet it hasn't touched most of our lives in a very significant way, unless we personally have someone who has been in Afghanistan, or tragically for those who have done so, we have those in Afghanistan who were blown up, killed, or maimed there. The war doesn't exist. It's far away. But for many people in the world today, they lay down in fear because there is no peace. But we don't have to go halfway around the world to see that there's no peace. We just need to drive some of the streets nearby. Well, let me ask you an honest question. Anybody here want to take a midnight drive through Camden to look at Christmas lights tonight? How about North Philadelphia, Kensington area? Someone had an editorial this week in the Philadelphia media. They were talking about a person who had been killed, the people who were killed in the school, or they weren't killed, thank God. They were shot. He tried to kill the one teacher right down the road from Columbine, another school shooting. But they made this comment. They said, that makes the national media, but a child being killed in Philadelphia is a weekly occurrence. And who cares? Remember when school shootings used to be rare, when we were appalled by them? Someone began yesterday or the day, I guess it was Friday, on the radio, they began to give the anniversaries of school shootings. And they just started giving the place, the amount of people who were killed or injured, and the date. And they started with January, and it took them 3 or 4 minutes to get into February. And the answer is, metal detectors and cops with guns in the schools. Do you know what my parents would have thought if you would have told them you're going to need metal detectors in the schools? They'd have laughed in your face. Here's what Isaiah describes. Look with me in Isaiah 59. Listen to these words, because they could be ripped from today's editorial page. They could be ripped from today's editorial page and describe most of our major cities today. Here's what it says, Isaiah 59, verse 7. Their feet rush into sin. How much of our business in America is based on sin? They rush into sin. Someone said, if you want a crash-proof business in a bad economy, just sell sin and debauchery. Someone will buy it. And the economy will be no impediment. Their feet rush into sin. They are swift to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are evil thoughts. Ruin and destruction mark their ways. I remember the first time I went down to Atlantic City years ago when they had just opened the casinos a few years before that. And as I went down, it was blighted block after blighted block, and then suddenly these massive, elaborate, lit to the nines, expensive buildings, and two blocks behind them looked like Beirut. Ruin and destruction mark their way. Here it is, the way of peace they do not know. There is no justice in their paths. They have turned them into crooked roads. No one who walks in them will know peace. So justice is far from us. Did you see the thing the other day? I was just so appalled. A teacher raped a student who later committed suicide, and the judge gave him a 1-month sentence. I was dumbfounded. But it shouldn't surprise us, so justice is far from us, and righteousness does not reach us. We look for light, but all is darkness, for brightness, but we walk in deep shadows. Like the blind, we grope along the wall. Have you heard some of these politicians talking lately? They are blind men groping along a wall. They just cannot understand why their little plans haven't worked out, why reality didn't shape itself to their desires. Feeling our way like men without eyes, at midday we stumble as if it were twilight. Among the strong, we are like the dead. What a description. What a description. You see, there is no peace in our streets. Sadly, for many of us, there is no peace in our homes. I work with kids that come from homes that some of us wouldn't believe. But you know what? Some of us would, because no matter what we've tried to do, we've dealt with those situations that invade the home. There are people today that don't want to go home from work because what they'll find when they get there. What a terrible thing. It is the description that Paul gives of the last days in Timothy. But mark this, 2 Timothy 3:1. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. See all the commercials any day, just that word, abusive. You see all the commercials today for lawyers trying to get lawsuits for senior citizens being abused in nursing homes? Remember when nursing homes were run by the church? Christians were the ones that started most of the nursing homes. And the people that worked there didn't work for a salary, they worked for God. Yeah, they got paid. They had bills just like you and I do. But that's not why they went there. They didn't go there because, oh, it's a great career and I can make money. They went there to serve people. And people were cared for. Do you know how bad it is? Japan says that their society is imploding so quickly that within 30 years they will not have enough workers to care for all the elderly people in their society, and they are trying to build robots to care for senior citizens. Can you imagine having lived your life and done all that you've done for and being 90 years old and the only thing that will care for you is a robot? Disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving. Do you know how many personal relationships are marred with unforgiveness? How many homes are filled with unforgiveness? Here's the biggest problem of all. Romans 3:17. This is the description of you and I. This is why there's wars in the world. There's wars on the street. There's no peace in the home. This is why marriage has become something where more than half of those who enter them, stars in their eyes and a flutter in their heart, leave them with a scream in their throat and a threat on their lips. Here's what it says, Romans 3:17, and the way of peace they do not know. You see, the problem with the lack of peace out there starts right in here, doesn't it? It's the lack of peace in the heart. You know why that is. I don't know if you've ever seen this verse. Here is a verse that you should underline because it is going to be the theme of our nation in the years going forward. We have had the theme in the other direction for many, many, many years. The America I grew up in had a much different theme, but this will be the theme in talking with my daughter and all the struggles financially for people to get started today. And she says, it's nothing like when you were my age, and it isn't. The hope and opportunity that I had when I was her age is far different from what kids are facing today. Isn't that true? We were a nation who was reaping the blessing of the mercy and righteousness we had shared with the world. But here's what it says about that. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 22. If you don't know this verse, here is a verse that you need to know and you need to learn. Isaiah 48, 22. God is commenting on the human condition. And here's what he says in describing that condition. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. There is no peace for the wicked. We've tried to say there can be peace for the wicked. We can have a society. Do you realize that in some aspects of our society today, 78% of the live births are out of wedlock? 78%. 78% of kids are growing up without a father. That's why we can't build jails fast enough to hold them. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked, and no amount of welfare will change that. No amount of government help will change that. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. Look with me at one more verse, and then I want to share some good news. Until we understand the bad news, we can't really hear the good news, but let us look at Luke chapter 19. I want you to hear the lament that Jesus had for his day. And I want you to hear the lament that Jesus has for our day as well. If Jesus could speak these words in America today. Luke chapter 19, verse 42. We'll start at verse 41. As he, Jesus, approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes. People just knew what would bring them peace. Oh, we think we know. We think if we had a big bank account, that would bring us peace. Oh, we think if we just had the right wife or the right husband or the right children or the right job, that would bring us peace. For those who aren't married, if they could just get married. For those who are, if they could just get unmarried. For young people, if they could just grow up. For old people, if they could just be young. We think we know what would bring us peace. But Jesus says, if you only knew. Only knew. Into the midst of this, Jesus Christ is born with this mission to bring peace. Listen to the words of the angels. Look at Luke chapter 2. What was that glorious message the angels brought
to the shepherds the night of his birth. Can you imagine being out in the field like you were every day of the year? I don't know how many of you have ever worked with animals. There are farmers in South Jersey, but there are some farmers in South Jersey that are not animal farmers. If you're a vegetable farmer or a tree farmer corn farmer, wheat farmer, whatever, grain farmer, it's one thing. Because you can take a day off. The fields don't go anywhere if you're not around to watch them. But animals, you never get a day off. You have to milk those cows every day of the year. You have to watch those sheep every day of the year. And can you imagine those shepherds? They've been out in the field day after day. You know, you sometimes look at your life and go, man, I'm in a rut. Think about them. They could tell you exactly where they were going to be today, tomorrow, next week, next month. Pick a date. October 9th, 2026. Know where I'll be. In the field with those sheep. And suddenly, unexpectedly, without warning, the skies light up. Verse 13, Luke chapter 2, verse 13. Suddenly. Without warning. Whoa, this is something new. That was probably the first new thing that had happened in their lives. In a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. What a wondrous message that God would look upon a race that wars with one another, that wars between nations, that wars on the streets, that kills because this one's in this gang and that one's in this gang, or this one comes from this side of town, or that one comes from that side of town. God would look upon a race that even in the intimacy of a family would use and abuse one another. That God would look upon a race that in the core of our heart rages with lusts and desires that could never be fulfilled. And that God would say to them, peace. Oh, what a wondrous message. That God would say, I want to grant you peace. Shouldn't that verse have read, glory to God in the highest, and on earth wrath to men on whom his displeasure rests? Oh, but it doesn't. It doesn't. That's what my heart so often wants to give. When I see the way that people, the evil that people have done, my heart so often just wants to pour out wrath. I hear of injustices and cruelties, and it gets my goat up. How about you? My ire up. I-R-E. Ire. My dander up. I've got some of that. Not God. God says peace. to men on whom his favor rests. I want to talk in concluding today about just three aspects of the peace that God gives. It's awful easy to see the war, man. If you know, psychiatrists say that people are depressed. I think if we shut down all the news organizations in the world, that people would be a lot less depressed. But there is peace. You just have to look a little deeper, a little further. We sang the song today. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the world, the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And loud and sweet, Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The hate will fail, the right prevail with peace on earth, goodwill to man. I want to talk about three ways that there's peace. Number one, look at Romans 5:1, the wondrous goal of Christmas. This is why Jesus came down at Christmas. This is why there is a Christmas. Jesus just didn't come to be a good teacher or a good rabbi or tell a good story or give a few homilies on nature. That isn't why he came at all. This is what it says. Romans chapter 5 verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's greatest peace of all. We can have peace with God. We who were estranged from God. We who do not know. That's what Romans 3:17 said. We who don't know the way of peace. We to whom Jesus said, if you'd only known the way of peace, we can have peace with God through Jesus Christ. What a gift. The reason we have war within, war in our families, war in our streets, war in the world, the reason why there is no peace is because we lack peace with God. And you can never have peace in the world without peace with God. You can never have peace in the streets without peace with God. That's why wherever there has been a great outbreak of God's Spirit, and people's hearts are changed by the gospel, there's peace. There's peace. I get so excited just looking at a little village like Almolonga, Guatemala. 23 jails in a town of 10,000 people. Can you imagine that? 23 jails in a town of 10,000 people. And they had to bus out 2 busloads of people every week to other jails because theirs were so overcrowded. Almost every one of those jails were filled with men, mostly men, but some women, who beat up their families, abused their wives and children because of drugs and alcohol. Oh, and then God came to Guatemala, to Almolonga, Guatemala. And people's hearts were changed, and suddenly the 70-some bars closed down, and the 3 churches grew to 70-some churches. And then you can interview the chief of police, and he says, how many jails do you have? None, none, none. Closed the last one down the other month. We need peace with God. Without peace with God, there is no peace in the world. But second of all, we can have peace within. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, a verse you all know, Galatians 5, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Jesus said this, John chapter 14, I believe it's verse 47. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not the way the world gives. The world says you can have peace if you have $1 million in the bank. Really? Tell all that. Tell that to all the guys in the crash of 1929. Most of the suicides in 1929 were men that had had $1 million in the bank. It didn't bring them any peace. The world says, oh, if you just drive the right car, look at the ads. Drive the right car. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. Peace I give to you. But here's the greatest thing, and I want to describe this because we need to hold on to this. In these days, it is so easy in America to put all our eggs in the basket of this world, to worry about our 401ks or our bank accounts or our stock or whatever we're hoping for, that someday we're going to have it all. But you know, Jesus said, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, because thieves steal. Some of them even do it legally. But I want to remind all of you, you see, we shouldn't live the way the world does because of Christmas. I was reminded of that in school the other day. The other staff were all talking, and they were all talking about what they needed and what they wanted and what they wish they could get and what they wish they had. And I was thinking the whole time, you know, I don't need any of those things that you think you want, because I've got a day coming. Oh, I wish I could go to Disney World. I don't need to go to Disney. Oh, I wish I could go on this vacation. Oh, I never get to take it. I wish I had a big vacation. Man, there's a day coming when I'll have all the time in the world to go on a vacation. Did you see in your bulletins? Have a good day. Over here on the inside it says, Mile High Comedians. And it has jokes here that supposedly pilots said over the loudspeaker as the plane was doing something. It says, prepare for takeoff. Your cushions can be used for flotation, and in the event of an emergency water landing, please take them with our compliments. But I love this. The very last one down at the bottom, here's what it says. It says, thank you for flying with us today upon landing. Thank you for flying with us today. The next time you get the insane urge to go blasting through the skies in a pressurized metal tube, we hope you'll think of us. Hey, man, I'm looking for the vacation when I can fly without a plane. I don't have to see the Grand Canyon today, because I can see it when I can fly it without being in one of those little gut busters. Here's what the Word of God says. Let's look at it. We looked at the verse today, and I just want to take you back, and then we're going to look at some verses in Isaiah. about the kind of peace that Jesus is one day going to bring to this world. Notice what it says, Isaiah 9:7. Isaiah 9:7, of the increase of His government and peace. His is the only government that can increase and there be an increase in peace. There's a wonderful verse in Daniel that says, and the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of the rock, not cut with hands. Or it says in the New Testament, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and His Christ. Look with me at what it will be like on that day when Jesus rules on the earth. Look at Isaiah chapter 11. And I'm not going to comment, I'm just going to read this whole passage and then I'm going to take us to Isaiah 65 and then we'll be done. Isaiah 11, 1 to 10. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the goat, and the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and the little child will lead them, and the cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like an ox. The infant will play near the hole of a cobra, and the young child will put his hands into the viper's nest. Neither will they harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the people, and all the nations will rally to him. And then Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65. This is the kingdom that is coming. This is the day that will soon be here. This is the day for which we need to live. Here it is, Isaiah 65, beginning at verse 17. Behold, I will create a new heavens and a new earth, for the former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. And I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. He who dies at 100 will be thought a mere youth. He who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. No more theft. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands. They will not toil in vain or bear children doomed to misfortune. For they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. But dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. That's why Jesus was born, to be the Prince of Peace. And you know, the day is coming when He will be exactly that for the whole world. But right now today, there are people who aren't ready for His coming. They aren't prepared for Him to come as Prince of Peace, because there will be many who will say, no, we won't have this man reign over us. And they will have to be swept aside before that day of peace can come. Some in our own families are there. Some of our loved ones are there. I doubt there's anyone here who does not have a neighbor who is not one of those who will be brushed aside by the judgments that will come before the Prince of Peace returns. And it is our job today to announce God's gracious offer. There are no angels flying in the heavens like there were with the shepherds, shouting, peace to men upon whom His favor rests. The only voice that will say that is yours or mine. It's our job to help the world find peace in the Prince of Peace. He's provided the way. It is now our job to make sure that people know that that way exists. Let's bow together. God, thank You for providing us the Prince of Peace, that there will come a day when there will be peace. There will be no locks on the doors. There will be no locks on the vehicles. There will be no one needing to arm themselves to protect themselves. There'll be no more armies, no more fighter bombers, no more tanks, no more guns. Oh God, we don't live in that day, but You have called us to announce its coming so that people can turn away from their sin and receive today the Prince of Peace as their Lord and Savior. Oh God, grant us the strength to proclaim that message boldly. In Jesus' name, amen.